Sky Cubby, welcome to Medicinal Foods Radio, and today's show, A Yogi's Diet on the Road. A big shout out to our listeners of Wolf Spirit Radio, American Freedom Radio, and awakeradio.us, and the listeners of this podcast rebroadcast. Congratulations for being on the cutting edge of health and wellness by showing up and listening to this show. I'm honored to be a part of the United We Strike family, riding the airwaves with our other great hosts from Switzerland, the UK, Ireland, Chile, and New Zealand. The purpose of this show is to educate and take back our power and reclaim our sovereignty from the greedy corporations who have kept we the people in a perpetual state of sick care. So early in my life, I learned what I put in my body had a direct effect on my mind-body-spirit connection. So my water, my lifestyle, my environment all came into effect as I studied Chinese herbs, Ayurvedic wisdom, and created a brand called Medicinal Foods to share what I learned along my quest for health. Take a look at the products over there at medicinal-foods.com. You'll discover decadent raw chocolate, nutrient-dense superfoods, tonic herbs, nano-medicinal mushrooms, and a whole lot more. Our guests today are Jayalakshmi and Ananda Yogaji. Ananda, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Guy.
I know we've been wanting to get together and do this for a while now, and I know you're always on the move at a different yoga festival, doing your music, at doing your retreats and workshops as well. I know you travel all over the world. I wanted to get to our listeners and give them a sense of some things that they can do while they're on the road to stay healthy. I mean, you have a high energy output. When you got to be on, you got to be on with your music, with your yoga. So let's share some things first from a diet perspective that are your go-tos for staying healthy on the road.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'd say a couple key things. We typically, me and my partner, have a fundamental breakfast, you know, go-to, and that's typically a rice protein-based green drink with, you know, heavy in spirulina and chlorella. And then, you know, we love making macadamia nut butter. And so we buy the macadamia nuts whole, and then we throw them in a food processor and grind them for about 5 minutes, and it turns them into a delicious butter, and we throw a little salt in there, and it's quite delicious.
Such an energy-rich food that really gives you that boost for the day.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I like to eat them with bananas and strawberries, kiwis. I always like to have mangoes in the morning, too. So for anything, any fruit that's really nice, that's, you know, looking pretty good at the store, and whatever seasonal is always great, too.
Do you eat that about?
You know, we usually do a morning practice, a sadhana. And so typically we get done somewhere between 10 and 11, and that's when we eat. Yeah, so I usually don't eat anything, and I don't drink anything other than water until about 10 or 11. And in many yogic, you know, diets and stuff, it's actually really good to just take the morning to fast and allow for the body to cleanse.
That kind of ties in with our last interview about intermittent fasting and kind of prolonging that morning fast so you can clean out from the night before. And do you feel like your digestion is better because you have prolonged that fast?
Totally. You know, I notice, like, when I don't eat in the morning and I just take that time to do my yoga practice, meditation, chanting, whatever it is each day, that it gives my body just that little extra time to just detox, to relax my bowels, and, you know, just feel that much better.
So now let's get right down to it. Let's talk about those BMs, you know, those bowel movements, because ultimately, you know, the Chinese proverb says the key to prevention is healthy digestion. So ultimately, how we digest our food and how it comes in and how it goes out is going to have a major effect on our reality. There's so obviously colon cancer is an epidemic right now, and people are really needing to observe how they digest their food. What I've realized is a lot of times it's a very small percentage of food. It could be 80% a lifestyle and exercise. And so do you find that the amount of food you eat as well? Like, I mean, normally fruit and macadamia nut butter is not the best combo, but you seem to do well with your digestion of that. It comes in and goes out, all right?
Oh, yeah. So when I was studying a lot of health and yogic lifestyle, I remember reading in an Ayurvedic, you know, book that it was very healthy and optimal to having a bowel movement after each meal. And I thought that was totally crazy, you know? I was like, what? You know, I thought one bowel movement a day, that's great. You know, two, okay, fine, you know, great. But having like, you know, three or four a day, that'd be like, wow, that's crazy. But once I actually had an interesting situation where I started having a reaction to eating legumes. So I took out legumes. Legumes just didn't digest well for me, so I stopped.
Being beans?
Beans, all beans. And, stopped eating all legume beans, and then I started significantly noticing a big shift in my bowel movements. And then, when I took out gluten primarily, I mean mostly, I still have a little bit here and there, but without the beans and the gluten, and being a vegetarian, all of a sudden, I was finally experiencing what those Ayurvedic people were talking about, having, you know, maybe having a bowel movement after every meal, you know.
So you've actually have maybe two, maybe three bowel movements a day?
I actually have two in the morning typically, and then one after every meal. So actually it's more like five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big testament because so many people eat so much meat that it just kind of stops up their colon and is so drying, dehydrating. A lot of the raw food movement, that people eat so much dehydrated food that it really just dehydrates the colon. And I noticed you just had a sip of water, so that is really helpful for hydrating the colon.
That's the other thing is I drink probably, I have a liter bottle, and I go through at least four or five of those a day, maybe more like six. And
well, they say we should drink a gallon of water a day,
yeah.
But it's not that, you know, how do you actually do that? Do you carry your water bottle around
with
you?
The water bottle is always in my hand, pretty much.
I noticed that about you.
It walks around with me. And, you know, because what I also notice is that I'm prone to headaches. And then once, you know, I get a headache, it's not like I can't reverse it. So even if I rehydrate, I can't get rid of the headache.
So you gotta stay ahead of the curve.
Gotta stay ahead of the curve. Yeah. It's been key.
And you wake up, drink water right away?
Right away. Yeah.
Okay.
I usually have a liter or two before I even have a meal.
It really makes all the difference. Now, not right before your meal. But
not right before, but a couple hours leading up to the meal.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I know it makes all the difference for me. So a big question I know a lot of people have, and they're always asking me, and I know they want to ask you, because you're a vegetarian, where do you get your protein?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we tend to go pretty heavy on the protein in the breakfast, and we use a brown rice protein from Growing Naturals, and we find it to be the smoothest and most nourishing protein powder out there that's not whey. And the brown rice protein, we do one scoop that's about 24 grams of protein. And then on top of that, we add, you know, chlorella and spirulina, which also are pretty heavy in protein, as well as
you have your mac butter.
And mac nut butter. And usually it's quite a bit of mac nut butter, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're eating 30 to 40 grams of protein in the morning.
And it's all about absorption, because a Ayurvedic doctor once told me we're actually only capable of absorbing 13 to 15 grams of protein. However, we don't have perfect digestion, perfect absorption, so it's good to get that extra protein in there. And as far as the rest of that green drink, Lakshmi will fill us in on the green drink. Is there any other thing that you do that you restrict your diet from, being a yogi? Or what is your feeling of nightshades and garlic and onions?
Mm. Well, you know, I would say some of the most essential things I've talked about a little bit is that, like, the gluten and the beans just didn't do so well, and I just notice in general it doesn't do so well with people, even though they still eat them. Like, I mean, just the fact that beans are known for making people fart, I mean, that in itself is like
a sign
that the body is not digesting properly. So anytime you eat food and you have gas, you know, you're not digesting properly. And it could also mean that you're not giving yourself, allowing the time to digest properly, because maybe the food is okay, but you haven't given yourself enough time to have the bowel movement. And then you're not going to have, you know, a good digestion. And that, another huge point is not snacking.
Mm.
I don't snack, or I try my best not to snack. I just have two or three meals a day, and I don't really snack between them.
That probably has a lot to do with why you are able to have your more consistent bowel movements, because it's not spread out throughout the day. The body knows when to eliminate and when you're going to be eating.
And, you know, I was an athlete in high school, and one of the key things that I learned was, you know, first of all, if your pee is clear, then you're hydrated. If your pee is not clear, it's yellow, then you need to drink more water. And another thing is, a lot of times people confuse hunger with hydration. And so even though the body's giving signals kind of like you're hungry, but the reality is you may actually just need to have more liquids.
So when someone is thinks they're hungry and they want a snack, try drinking some water and they might be satiated.
Yeah, see how that feels. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, everybody's different, and this is what's working for you, of course. But you found that the beans just, you know, didn't quite work with you. And one thing a lot of people don't know is rice and beans, even though it contains the essential amino acid profile that we need to survive, you actually don't digest the beans and rice completely, and you have indigestion, and people end up digesting beans and rice as a starch, and so there is not a complete absorbable protein in beans and rice. So that's just a little something. When you're on the road, what are some other foods that you eat?
We eat lots of vegetables. We eat lots of like rice and quinoa are pretty much our staple, because they're very easy to digest, and we eat lots of easy to digest vegetables. We like char, we kale, zucchinis, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots.
Now, we just threw all that together and made a mole. Do you want to leave our listeners with a tasty recipe that they can enjoy when they do have the time to prepare some real food and they're grounded at a place? You want to give them the mole recipe?
Well, the mole recipe is an ever-fluctuating recipe, but if you... you start with some oil, preferably coconut oil, and then you throw all sorts of different types of spices. So you can throw a lot of different Indian spices, like garam masala, cumin, coriander, what else? Ginger, we put in ginger.
Cinnamon.
And then, then there's a bit of like some of those exotic, more almost sweetened spices like nutmeg, cinnamon, cloves. And so that's kind of your base. And then from there you start adding vegetables like the onions, if you want to put potatoes or sweet potatoes, cabbage, chard.
Put the ghee in with the spices or the coconut oil.
If you're into ghee, you could do ghee. And then you throw your vegetables in there depending on how fast they cook.
We did sweet potatoes first with the onions.
Uh-huh. And then after that, you'll want to... We actually added coconut milk, too.
That was
really nice to add a little bit of a cream factor. And then we add the chocolate and a sweetener of some sorts.
We added bitter or unsweetened cacao, cacao paste, or we used the cacao elixir powder as well in there, a couple tablespoons.
And then some maple syrup, maybe, just to sweeten it a little bit, or some kind of sweetener. We used some tomatillo salsa as well as green chili salsa.
Mm.
And so that was the whole shebang. And then you add lime at the end, and if you like, if you're into dairy, we added a little cheese too, some organic raw cheese. So that's, and some tortillas, of course. Corn tortillas are organic.
We kind of shredded up tortillas in there. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we're going to get Lakshmi on here, but first, how about, do you want to just tell the listeners how important your morning practice is to set the tone for your day?
The morning practice is like, let's put it this way, once you've established sadhana, it's like, sadhana is your morning practice, it's the spiritual discipline. It would be like for me to not do sadhana is like to not take a shower and to not brush my teeth every day. Like, it just feels like I'm off. Like, I feel like I haven't been cleansed. I don't feel centered. And sadhana is the daily practice to dedicate your own being to the alignment of your body, mind, and spirit, to the connection of the infinite, to clear out the thought waves, and just to have that moment of clarity to give to yourself, to ultimately just be able to blossom and thrive and really be the best you can be in this earth.
So how does someone begin a practice? How did you start your practice? Who's your teacher? And where can someone go to a book or a teacher to start pulling together some ideas to start their morning practice?
There's so many teachers and varieties that I wouldn't even like give emphasis to one or the other. I personally have had a deep connection with Kundalini Yoga and the teachings of Yogi Bhajan, and he really rammed home the importance of sadhana. That was his, if you could say there was a quintessential, it would be the quintessential. And I think any yoga teacher who's really concerned about their students, that is the most essential thing, because they know that, they can only teach so much, but the reality is each individual has to empower themselves. So you have to empower yourself to do your own practice, to connect to your own intuition. And so
taking some yoga classes,
you have to start with whatever you enjoy doing. I would say that's, you know, or whatever you feel like is essential for you, for your growth, for your shedding of any layers, things that you're not, you know, wanting in your life, all these things. So if you know there's certain practices that make that happen for you, then you have to then do it every day. And the first thing you do in the day, you know, no cell phones, no computers, no food, no talking, just wake up, drop in. And water, yep. Water, the sacred water. You could do without water too, but I like water. But literally, like, you get up and you just drop in to your practice.
Beautiful. Mm. Thanks, Ananda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, we're going to get Lakshmi on here.
Okay.
Lakshmi. Now we get to have a woman's perspective, a woman yogini. And we've talked about let's talk about break down that morning smoothie that Ananda mentioned and tell our listeners exactly what is in that green morning drink.
The magic potion.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing because a lot of places we travel, you know, we realize everyone's into their smoothies in the morning, and they're like, "Well, what are you guys doing?" And what we do is we mix powders into a glass of water. It's so easy. And
you just stir it in, right?
Yeah, we just stir it in. So most of the powders we use are actually really water-soluble, and they mix really well. So basically it's like it's the whole blend that someone might put into their smoothie, but without the fruit, because we both share this philosophy of the experience of fruit, the sensual experience of fruit, eating a whole peach, or eating a papaya, or eating a mango, or eating blueberries, you know, eating them just as they are in their whole perfect form, like nature wanted us to, you know, bite into them, and the juice squirts, and, you know, it's like it's a whole experience. So
I love it.
Yeah, so we save our fruit aside, and then we put all of our greens and superfoods and our protein powder in the drink with the water. So the ingredients are... We have it down pretty good regularly now. We have, of course, we have the protein powder, which I think Ananda described that. Yeah, our body's like the rice, the sprouted rice protein powder best.
Well, it's sprouted, so it's already broken down a little bit more.
That helps a lot, because my body is fine with it. Really good.
Great.
And then we do, of course, we have your reishi mushroom powder we put in there. And we have a green powder, usually a couple teaspoons of green powders, like something like Living Greens, which we use sometimes, or Vitamineral Green. And then we also use a heavier, like spirulina chlorella mix that's really concentrated, more chlorella proteins.
More protein there.
Yeah, and then the detox you get from the chlorella, heavy metal detox. So,
and
spirulina.
Deodorizing the colon, giving you that IGF one, the protein, and building muscle with that too.
Mm-hmm. So. It's so good. My body just loves this drink. And then we put in, of course, Ananda was putting in creatine for a while because, you know, he likes to try to keep a little weight on, a little.
So what does creatine do?
Well, creatine is actually, unfortunately, I don't know like too much about it, but I think it's like an amino acid. It's some kind that's natural in our body, and it's like
good for vegetarians to get the missing amino acids.
Yeah, and I think what it does is it actually fills the tissue it hydrates the cells and the tissues and the muscles, so it actually kind of poofs you out just a little bit. And I mean, it's good for people who want to put, you know, not be skinny little.
Us Vata body types could use a little extra bulk.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I don't know if, you know, he doesn't do it like every day, all the time, forever. It's just something that, you know, happens in phases. Like, but I haven't been doing that lately, and I'm okay with it. I don't really need that. And then I put in, I put in a spoonful of Shatavari, which is the Ayurvedic, you know, mother queen of all the herbs, the roots over there.
Great for women.
Great for women. So I do that every day just to balance hormones and nourish the yin, and it's also, you know, good for moisture and for women, and just so many levels.
We put that in the Womb Yin Nutritive Love Tonic.
Right.
Yeah, for medicinal foods.
So. Yeah, that is just, that's crucial for me. And what else is in there? That's basically it. It's the powders, the greens, the mushroom extract. A little creatine. Sometimes we have extra things we throw in there that, you know, some like earth biotic or earth, you know, probiotic kind of stuff we need to put in there.
So you'll start with some tea.
And,
Yeah. And, or maybe like, our chaga product and a new coming soon chaga and chicory with roasted barley and rye. Better than coffee substitute, so that kind of thing can get you going before your morning practice.
Yeah, well, as soon as I wake up, I drink almost a quart of water.
Wow!
Every morning, just guzzle a quart. So that's,
so you and Ananda really hit the water, and it helps a lot with your hydration of your colon.
Yeah.
And I know on the road, it's easy to get constipated.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people experience that. Our Vata body type, you know, that's the primary dosha for the people who tend to get a little bit spun out on the road, mm-hmm. snacking too much, and can get a dehydrated colon pretty easily. So mm-hmm. the water is a really important thing for you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're big water drinkers. But especially in the morning, you know, just because that's just kind of the flow of the energetics, the body wanting to cleanse and hydrate just first thing in the morning. And so do that first, and then I have my tea.
Mm-hmm.
usually hojicha cha, like a light green tea, roasted green tea. And then, sure, I would love to have your chaga mushroom, your blend, when it's ready.
Okay.
I can't wait for that. Yeah.
Well, you guys have always been real supporters of medicinal foods and helped in actual some of the formulation. I know the Lover's Bar with the Bulgarian rose, that was inspired by your lovely rose chocolate. So we want to just expand a little bit more on healthy digestion on the road. So
mm-hmm.
obviously water's a big part. Do you want to share a little bit about, I know Ananda shared very detailed about his bowel movements, and we got really personal about that. Do you want to share, you know, because that's really what it comes down
that's
to
what
is
it, that's,
how,
yeah.
how smooth is the move? How does the elimination, you know, actually go down?
We're all talking about it these days, you know.
Yeah.
That's what's going on, because it's so important.
We shove this stuff down our throats. We expect like us to be a human garbage disposal, and something that if you put this food we eat anywhere else, it's just going to rot and
mm-hmm.
Smell really bad. But we expect our body to perform miracles,
mm-hmm.
and it really does.
Yeah.
So what are some things you do to help your body along in form of digestion?
Well, you know, I'm definitely a little slow in that area. You know, it's been a bit challenging for me, but there are certain things I've learned, you know, like, for instance, I don't eat any gluten. That's a big stop up for me. And also beans and legumes tend to do that to me, too.
You as well.
Yeah. And, yeah, they slow me down.
The way Ananda was talking about it, it was like people are almost in denial of, they still eat beans, they
mm-hmm.
still have a lot of gas, which mm-hmm. is a sign of indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that works for you as well. It helps.
Definitely. Yeah. It's just, and also, I have to, even though I love bread, gluten-free bread, even, you know, it's a lot better than gluten bread, I still notice that it, you know, it bulks me up. It kind of like...
Well, there is. You know. There's the gluten-free bread that just has like... pea flour and garbanzo bean
flour. Oh, I don't eat that kind of gluten-free
and a million ingredients. So, I mean, do you like simple, just plain rye bread, right? It's good
because
it doesn't have gluten.
Well, I eat that kind of bread. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the kind you find in the freezer. It's like brown rice millet bread or black rice exotic bread. I can't remember the name of the
company. Oh, yeah, I like that, too.
But it's just super basic. It's really good ingredients. It's all organic,
mm-hmm.
and it's not. It doesn't have all that fluff and filler in it, you know. And
perfect.
It's really good taste. So anyway, that's my gluten-free bread choice.
And
when
do you toast it, or do you?
Oh,
yeah. Toasting helps the digestion. Yeah,
yeah,
that's great. Cool.
And but I think the water, eating regular meals, of course, and not snacking, you know, is good. And then at nighttime, I usually take some things. I take magnesium at night. And then I take these products, one called Cleanse More and one called Bowel Care from Organic India.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are the nicest, gentlest kind of
support for the bowel function. They don't have senna. They don't have anything that's irritating or like a laxative necessarily. They actually just support the bowel function, kind of almost like a Triphala.
Yeah, like the
Ayurvedic. Yeah. So I do those, you know, a few times a week, like regular at night time, and it just, yeah, just all that stuff kind of just keeps things pretty much moving, you know. But I am
not eating too late. Is helpful, right?
That is helpful, although
being on the road is a challenging thing as a musician.
Oh, it's so hard. There'll be shows we finish and we're done at midnight, and I'm with all the guys, right, in the band, you know, and so they're all like, yeah, let's eat, and they're eating cereal and toast and, you know, whatever they want, and I'm just like, oh, I just shouldn't. I shouldn't do that.
Well, having something light, a lighter fare, like a smoothie can be helpful.
That's true. Yeah, something...
Well, since we are getting the woman's perspective, are there some other things you want to share about women's health and hormones? You shared some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting up there. I've had two daughters. I'm I'll tell everybody. I'm 51 today.
Well, you do not. You don't look over 30.
So. So, yeah, I've been, you know, really focused on my health and maintaining, because honestly, I have to say, I'm pretty scared about aging. Like, God, I don't want to get old, you know, I don't want to, like, so, you know, but everything in moderation and balancing, you know, and it, of course we have to accept our, you know, our humanness and our mortality and, you know, at some point, but, you know, it's a new paradigm where, you know, we have access to all these amazing superfoods and information, and it's our choice every day, like what we want to, how we want to, like feed our bodies and our spirits, and it's amazing. It's like we're so lucky. But so yeah, so I've been dealing a lot with the hormonal thing, and it's pretty smooth for me. I mean, with that Shatavari that I do every day,
that's really awesome.
I did a big spoonful of that, and. You know, I try to, you know, it's all about nourishing the yin, really.
For a woman.
And also for vata. You know, it's this similar, it's like the crossover between the Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic system, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's keeping nourishing the fluids and the yin and the softness.
Gentle, calming.
Calming, soothing, nourishing, yeah, all that. So I try to, you know, tune into the foods that are really good in that way, like... You know, like goji berries or, you know, like beets, you know, blood food is really good.
Blood builders. Jujubes, do you do those?
I don't. I love those. Omar had those last week on the beach. I remember those were, I'd love to get some of those.
Those are blood builders. They're sweet, you know, sweet nourishes vata too. So, and then all those blood builders we put in the love tonic too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the love tonic's awesome. Yeah.
Well, you're doing amazing with, you know, something you're doing is working, but it sounds like keeping it simple, keeping it light. But you also eat real food. Like people always say, oh, what do you just snack like a squirrel, you know? But you're saying you don't snack. You try to eat three main meals a day.
Yeah, I mean, I do end up snacking a little bit, especially when we're driving places and we don't know where we're going to eat or what, you know, it's a little... like unclear what we're going to have for dinner or sometimes. So I do snack, but yeah,
you
in general.
Got your basics.
Yeah, generally got the basics. And, you know, I always keep on hand, like when we're, well, some of my favorite foods to keep on hand, like in the car are like, you know, I keep a little cooler usually. Mm. And I have a bottle of the Udo's omega-3 oils, 369.
Oh, God, that's good.
Yeah, and then I have a little jar of sauerkraut.
No, that's like safflower oil.
No, it's flax.
Flax.
Hemp and...
I think safflower.
Safflower? Yeah. I don't know what it was. It's one of those really good
oils. It's got the right omegas. Well, that's the thing, and you guys do the Mac butter.
Yeah, we do the Mac butter every day.
Which has the perfect ratio of omega-3s and 6s, 1 to 1. And now it's gotten as crazy as 1 to 17 ratio with the kind of fats people have. So having good fat sounds like a big part of it.
Yeah, it's a big part of it because I do that Mac butter every morning pretty much. So I got the omegas from that. You know, because we're vegetarian pretty much. Like, I eat eggs and I try not to eat too much dairy, of course, because that just kind of makes
stops
me
you,
congestion.
Meat,
and...
If you just eat fruit too in the morning, you can get kind of spun out, a little bit ungrounded. So it sounds like starting your meal with that protein, starting your day with a protein smoothie is a good way to go. What are some other foods that you like to have on hand or meals you like to prepare?
Well, like things when we're traveling, like I like to have added onto that list is like a jar of coconut oil, like organic coconut oil. I can sometimes just take a spoonful of it.
Now, I heard that's good for candida.
Oh, just plain
eating,
coconut oil.
Yeah, eating a spoonful of coconut oil a day helps keep the candida in the right balance.
Yeah, it's helpful for so many things. I've heard there's a lot of research lately about Alzheimer's and brain tissue, and it's what nourishes the brain.
In the bathroom, in the kitchen, in the bedroom. It's good for everything.
Yeah, coconut oil. Yeah.
Cool.
And then we have snacks like goji berries and nuts. You know, I love nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's a hard thing because I really love, like, the dry roasted like almonds, crunchy. I love crunchy things.
Well, see, that's the big vice for vatas is we love crunchy stuff, and it's also the drying thing so we got to stay hydrated with all that.
So that's a tricky thing. I always try to get like either just get almond butter. You know, if I'm really craving nuts, I mean, I already have the Mac nuts, but you know,
The way you do the Mac nuts by processing them in the food processor. Mm-hmm. I know you get 17-pound bags at a time from us.
Yeah.
You just put them in the food processor for how many minutes?
You have to use like a Cuisinart, or that's the one we have. Of course, that always works the best, I think. But you just put them in there for like 4 minutes or 5 minutes.
And it makes the creamy mac butter.
Yeah, it turns into like liquid.
Because when you chew macadamia nuts, you can get little pieces that stay stuck in your colon.
Right.
So that's really good to know. You can just make your own macadamia nut butter, and it's probably a lot cheaper too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot cheaper, and it's so fresh.
So yummy.
So,
liquid gold.
Oh, it is. It's so precious. And then, so other things like, you know, being vegetarian, I don't know if all our listeners out there are vegetarian, of course, but I think it even applies to non-vegetarians. It's just, you know, B12 and protein. The B12, I take supplements more than Ananda does.
Is it like a sublingual?
Yeah, it's a spray.
Good. Oh, nice.
Like, I'll take a few sprays of those every day because I know the B vitamins, especially with our lifestyle, are so important.
It's easy to get depleted. A lot of people with adrenal fatigue and just not having energy, it's so important. I actually took B12 injections when I was recovering from my asthma because I just wasn't absorbing. I was taking all their asthma drugs. I was taking all of their... it was the steroids, the corticosteroids, which were inhibiting my body's own creation of the anti-inflammatories and such. So I had no energy, and I had to take the injections. It made all the difference. Really helped a lot. So the B12 spray, that's great.
Yeah, B vitamins. I take. I try to keep my supplements to a reasonable amount. Once you start going in that world, it's like, oh, I need this and that, and I could use this and that, and oh, I can spend money on that. You know, it's just endless. And then
vitamin A, do you do vitamin A?
Not separately, but it's in my multivitamin.
Okay.
I take a multivitamin every day, like for women over 50 or whatever, that kind of thing, you know. But the other thing was that collagen. I guess in a way I'm not a vegetarian if I'm taking that.
Experimenting.
I'm not experimenting.
Being dogmatic. You're listening to your body. And I know my wife, Omra, she loves the collagen. And it, her hair and skin and nails grows better, stronger. Mm-hmm. It's also great for anti-inflammatory because our bodies are made out of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how you, go with that. You know, people are vegetarian for different reasons and for the most part, it seems to be working amazing for you. I mean, you and Ananda, I don't think I've ever seen you guys sick. I'm sure it happens from time to time. It's natural, but you have to be on when you have to be on at shows and your music events. So I think you're a great testament to this type of yogi diet, modern-day yogi diet, at least.
Yeah, I do get sick
once in a while, actually.
Yeah.
But mostly just like little colds or something. Yeah. And it might be because my immune system gets down, you know, after just living stress. This lifestyle, stress, and you know, I might have eaten too much sugar or I indulged in something. Usually that's the case. Uh-huh. Like, oh, wait a minute, how many times did I eat that Love Crunch last week, you know? The sweet, you know, a little too much sweet. So I have to be careful with that too, of course, you know, just like careful with the sweets and the desserts and things.
Yeah.
I love them so much, but yeah.
So then when you do have time to prepare food, what type of things do you prepare things to go, or do you pretty much what do you do as far as, you know, foods you like to prepare? Because I know you make a lot of really yummy things.
Yeah.
Can we give some recipes to our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. It's funny because I love to cook. I have two daughters and I love to cook for them. And I love to cook for another family, just friends. But I hardly ever get to do it these days because I never have a kitchen. I'm always traveling or moving in other people's spaces. And so I've just had to adapt to that, you know, and that's been a little tricky. But with all the health food stores and all the great, you know, vegetarian restaurants and alternative restaurants now, it's not that hard, on the West Coast especially. But when I do get a chance to cook, you know, one of the first things, I love to cook curries. They're always different. I mean, I have a curry that we just call it a tomato curry because it's super yummy. It's almost a little bit like the mole.
Okay.
But I can give that recipe. You know, there's in the, in the Krishna world and cooking in the temples and also in Ayurvedic cooking, you know, you begin with putting the ghee or the oil in the pan and then you first put in like mustard seed, the seeds, the cumin seeds, the mustard seeds, the coriander seeds.
You heat up the oil first.
Yeah, heat up the oil, and then you put in the seeds, and then put a lid on it because they pop. The mustard seeds pop, and you don't want to burn them. You don't want to just toast them. And then after that, then you put in the powdered spices, whatever you're going to put in. You know, I usually put in a whole mix of, just curry powder, garam masala, coriander, cumin. I've been putting in the smoked paprika lately.
And it sizzles up and all the medicinal aspects of these herbs, which are great and wide and the different medicinal aspects for the body, then that just gets extracted out of the
into the oils, into spice. The ghee. And then sometimes I throw an onion in because I do eat onions, only cooked. But of course, they're not offerable to Krishna. But you know,
they're so yummy.
They're so yummy.
And then it's a great base to start with before vegetables.
Oh yeah,
right?
I mean, I love cooked onions.
They're also really good leeks, onions. They're all really good for the lymph. So if you're having a stagnant lymph, and obviously we need to move our lymph. A lot of information shows that really with diet, it's 80% lifestyle and exercise and about 20% diet. However, the lymph can help the onions and those types of, even onions, garlic, some of those types of vegetables can really help cleanse the lymph.
It's interesting because in the if you follow the Kundalini yoga guidelines, as a Kundalini yoga practitioner, those guys, they love onions and garlic. They load it in. And it's so funny because I was, you know, spent a lot of time in the Krishna world and ashrams, and that's just like not, you know, not in the menu at
You're
all.
Trying to keep things calm.
Yeah, they say they're rajasic and they like get, but I never really had that experience, honestly. But I don't eat much garlic because I think garlic is too strong.
Uh-huh.
It's just too strong, like for culinary. It's okay when you're in Italy, maybe.
Uh-huh.
So I just stick to onions, but I feel like I feel good, you know, they feel good in my body. So, yeah, so then throw onions in and then just a whole bunch of veggies, like cauliflower, broccoli, zucchini, cabbage. And then I throw in either fresh tomatoes, if I can, you know, usually have fresh tomatoes, but sometimes even those like organic, like canned tomatoes, I just like throw those in there, you know, and then there's like coconut milk. And then sometimes I put in a,
which really balances out the acidity of the tomatoes, I think.
Yeah. That's true. I know. It's so creamy. It makes it creamy.
Mm.
Coconut milk, and then
better than Campbell's.
There's some secrets in this recipe, and you know, of course, I'm not telling you measurements or anything, but you know,
use your intuition, right?
Use your intuition, and it's okay if you want to taste it once in a while. Honestly, I don't taste my meals very much.
You just know it's that good.
I just feel it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, not everyone has that type of intuitive cooking.
Mm, and it's fun to taste it at the end. You're like, how did this turn out?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's good. Or,
nice.
Oh, it needs this or that. But usually it's pretty good. But
so you add salt at the beginning or the end?
Kind of like once I have all the veggies in and everything's cooking along and the coconut milk's in, then I put the salt in and I will put in some almond butter and to make it creamy. And then, oh, I like to add raisins, too.
Okay, a little sweetness.
A little sweetness.
Or they could do some maple syrup instead.
Sometimes I put a little shot of maple syrup in there just for flavor. Just, you know, it's like, what is that hint of maple in there? Like, what is
that? Okay.
So I add that, and then I just let it cook and simmer for a while, and you know, sometimes there's a cinnamon stick I throw in there, you know, when in the beginning when I put in the spices.
Okay.
It's just, you know, the spices are always changing. And then at the very end, when you're done, just, I usually squeeze a whole lime or lemon. Lime or lemon over the whole thing.
But I'm salivating.
Yeah, because you get all the flavors. You get like sour, tangy, sweet, salty, savory, a little bitter with some, maybe some of the greens, you know, all that. It's like you get everything in that curry. Mm.
That's great. That's a great recipe. I'm inspired to make that. So, as far as we were talking about the onions and things that can be stimulating, it sounds like with the Kundalini yoga, they're moving a lot of energy. So their belief is that as long as you're moving that energy, you can have those kind of things in your diet. Do you want to talk a little bit about your practice and how the importance of that and your setting the tone for your day?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it's been wonderful, you know, being together with Ananda because he's such a disciplined yogi and he's really helped me be more disciplined because when, you know, your partner is super disciplined and you want to be connected and feel connected, you try to make that possible. Like, how can we do this every morning together?
That's so nice.
Yeah. So it's really, it sets the foundation. It really helps, I feel like, you know, the relationship. It's just like, because you see each other's commitment to the sadhana. And it's like, it's a beautiful thing. It's like a reflection of your commitment to yourself and to each other in a way.
And you sometimes do your practice, even though you're both doing it, do you do it in your own space sometime, or is it usually together?
We've been together like 6 years, and it's not, it kind of just comes in waves.
Whatever is appropriate.
Yeah, whatever's appropriate. I mean, most of the time it's together. I would say like 70% of the time it's together, and then the other 30%. You know, we take some space. Like, you know, we just, whatever, I'll go into a different room or he'll go outside or...
Space is good, too.
Oh, yeah. That's great, you know, and then I have a whole different experience.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, it's not that different because we're both really in our own space. Because that's the thing, we do a different practice.
Okay.
We come together, we tune in together, and then we're kind of off and running in our own flow.
Nice.
And then at the end, we come back together for the... Siddharshan Chakra Kriya meditation for 31 minutes.
Beautiful.
So there's like an hour and a half where we are just doing our own flow.
So your practice in the morning is about 2 hours?
Sometimes 2.5.
Nice.
Yeah, 2 to 2.5 hours every morning.
And for people who don't have 2 hours or think they don't want to make the time to have 2 hours, just dropping in is going to be helpful for their day a little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little stretching,
a little
meditation.
Pranayama, a little breath of fire, wake up your nervous system and get it like, you know, reset, opened up, and and then some calming breath and... Yeah, if you can, I mean, really there's a way to do everything in even an hour. Or maybe even less, but, you know, to be very efficient, like with your muscle groups, you know, do your little froggy squats, do your little bit of ab, just say hello everywhere, you know, do a little side plank, do a little, cobra back bend a little bit, just kind of visit everything, and that's okay. I mean, if you only have 45 minutes or whatever.
And it's different every day.
My practice?
Yeah,
it's different every day. Yeah.
Just tune in with your body and listen.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's body's different, you know, so that's a big, huge part of
life, you know, especially if you want to be practicing yoga, it's like you tune into your own body and you listen to what it needs. And it's such, that's the art of it, really.
Listening.
Yeah, listening. Because sometimes I sit there and I'm listening, okay, and like my body's just telling me to sit. I don't want to move. And that's okay. I'm just going to sit and drop in a different way, you know?
I heard something the other day. Listening is love.
Aww.
So a way we can love our body is really listen to what it needs. Maybe it needs yoga nidra and just laying down and tuning in with the body in that way.
Yeah.
But you notice a profound difference the days you do your practice and the days that you miss it, right?
There are some days we miss it, and that's a bummer. You know, we either have to catch an airplane flight at like 6, 5 in the morning, or I have to go deal with my mom, you know, who's, I'm kind of taking care of her a little bit right now. So, you know, it's like, you know, life calls, and you just, sometimes you don't get to do your 2-hour practice in the morning.
Well, we were just at Esalen, and we would forego our morning practice a couple of days to soak in the springs, and that was worth it at that point. But,
that's the thing. You're saying you can't be too rigid about anything, really.
Our diet or our lifestyle.
Just try to keep it going. Keep it, you know, just keep at it. You know, just don't let up too much. You know, there's been days when maybe, you know, I've had 2 days of not doing my practice, and then I'm like, ooh, that's not good.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is not good. I can't do 3 days of that practice. That's not going to work.
Well, this is really great. I think our audience is going to really appreciate, even though it's just simple things that you guys do, it's become a daily practice for you. For people who are wanting to have a healthier lifestyle and feel better in their body temple, I think a lot of this is really going to help.
So, I hope so.
And, you know, a lot of what you guys do, your gift to the world with your music is so amazing. It touches so many people. Could you give your information out, your website, so people can tune in with your tour and your schedule and get in touch with you, maybe get your music, order a CD online?
Yeah. So it's jayalakshmiandananda.com. That's our website.
And can you spell it for
them? Okay, everybody get their pen ready.
Yeah.
It's jayalakshmi. Ananda, ananda.com. JayalakshmiAndAnanda.com.
Google will help you out.
And then if you go to our website, there's a little button at the top. It says store. And you can click on that, and it brings you to the Bandcamp store. And we always suggest that people buy our music. If you wanted to buy music, you buy it off of our Bandcamp store, because it actually supports us much better than any other of the other, you know, aggregates out there like iTunes or anything. So
this yogi diet and lifestyle on the road is born from this music and dedication that these beloved beings bring to us, and we're so thankful. So definitely support them and tune in with what they're doing. Their music is incredible. Thank you, Lakshmi, for being with us, and Ananda.
Thank you, Sky, for all of the amazing creations and medicinal foods, for bringing that into the world. And it's been really awesome for us.
Mm.
It's fueled our journey. Big time.
You're welcome, and thanks for being such great supporters as well. So we are going to leave you with a song, and before that, Ananda, do you want to say goodbye?
Just namaste, friends. Sat Nam.
Okay.
And aloha.
Yes, and this song is from their newest CD, is that right?
Yeah.
And this is the day.
No.
What?
Their last CD. They're constantly producing more and more music.
Oh, Unsung Waheguru off of Kundalini Morning Chants.
Okay. Here you go. Enjoy, and aloha. Now is the time when I let go.
existence in my soul. Now is the time when I let go of my fears, inhibitions, and sense of dread. When I give up control and I let you hold me with no resistance in my soul. This is the day when I throw it all away into the fire of the all-loving one. Now I have just what I need to be.
Throw it all away into the fire. sense of dread. When I give up control and I let you hold me with no resistance in my